Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, it's got to be one of the most harrowing things that a woman can experience, one of the most horrific things that a couple can experience together as well, and that is miscarriage, when a pregnancy ends in miscarriage. How do you get through it? Well, one woman who has experienced the pain and who's come out the other side is Sarah Siu. She's written a book about her experiences. It's called Run to You, and she joins us now. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you.
You know, it's hard to be upbeat about this one, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I guess, thankfully, you know, at the other end, you can now, I guess, laugh and, I guess, cry tears of joy. But
yes.
Back then, it wasn't so much. But let's talk about some of the feelings. Let's jump right in, I guess. How did you feel when you first discovered that you were pregnant back, you know, those years ago?
Oh, I was overjoyed. I was looking forward with great expectations of just how great it would be to be a mom, to have children, and to, you know, every day I would wake up and wonder how big it is this day and be looking at books, and the spine is growing and the heart is beating, and I would just really feel overwhelmed with joy. And it was really exciting.
Now contrast that to the moment when you discovered you had miscarried your first child.
It was very confusing for me, and also a very lonely time, and I think a bit shocked as well. I happened to go to the ER and was waiting to confirm whether I had lost the baby. And I remember hearing the doctor tell me, and I just didn't believe them. I just felt like, you must be wrong. And it took some time for that to settle in. And
you mentioned being lonely. Why were you lonely? Is it just not being able to really talk to people about it after it happened?
I think it's something that you just don't know what to say. And especially once you've shared with people that you're pregnant, you feel sort of alone and carrying now this new news of,
because you've opened it and everybody's excited. Everybody's excited.
Yes.
And then you've got to come back and say, it's not happening.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess that's all part of why, you know, a lot of couples don't actually mention anything, you know, until the first trimester is over.
Yes.
But miscarriages can actually happen after that, can't they?
Yes.
Yeah. So then actually, how did you get over the first miscarriage? How did you move through that? If you look back now and say, okay, I was able to stabilize after that, what got you through?
Well, I remember waking up the morning after it happened and really realizing that I had to make a choice whether or not I was going to be bitter about it, or if I was going to pursue not letting it bring me down. And basically it was a choice to run to God rather than run from Him and blame Him, and I needed to try to understand, because I had no room in my faith for suffering, for it really this.
That's interesting.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of us like that. We don't have a room in our faith. Your phrase is quite significant. We don't have room in our faith for suffering.
Yeah. And I had to open my heart to the possibility that it could get better, and that this was a part of life and a part of,
in a fallen world.
Yes.
In a broken world.
Yes. And you know, many people experience it, and I needed to be able to run to God and find the healing that I needed.
Now, how did your faith cope when you then went through a second miscarriage?
I think at that point, I had to pick up what I had started to process about it the first time. And the first time, it had shaken my faith so much that I needed to really meditate on Scripture and try to wrestle with, God, why would this happen? It doesn't seem in all something that is good, or that could possibly be your will. And so I had to to sort of ponder that. And because I had started on that journey of pondering it, the second time it happened, I had to pick right up where I had started. And it was a great sense of encouragement for me to read for myself that you need to run to God, you know? It doesn't change. With every hard circumstance, it doesn't change. It's that process of coming to that crossroad and making that choice to draw close to God in spite of the pain.
Because this book that you've written, Run to You, actually started off as a journal, really, didn't it?
Yes.
As you were processing all this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, it's so easy to say, I needed to run to God. Now, practically, what does that mean for the woman who has just lost a child through miscarriage?
Practically, it looks like finding a place to be vulnerable. And for me, it was closing myself off in a bedroom or bathroom or kitchen, wherever I could be alone, and cry out to God. And what I mean by that is just say, God, what's up with this?
Be honest.
Be honest. And, you know, if you need to be angry, be angry. If you need to sort of pour out a complaint to him about it, it really was taking a step towards as being vulnerable. And you know, for me, practically, something that is really seems small, but it's even like getting on the ground and, like, you know, getting up your knees to
physically
the ground,
kneeling,
and
posture
listening.
Can help, can't it?
You know,
it's not everything, but it certainly can help us focus, I guess.
And listening to songs, I really felt like as I prayed and cried out, God brought a lot of healing through songs as well. Those are some practical things, and to look for resources.
Yeah.
Look.
Did
in
you
his
get
word.
Any answers to your why question? You know, it's very, very natural for us to go, God, why? Why have I lost this child? Why have I had this marriage? This miscarriage? Did you get any answers to the why questions? Did you find any, or did you just have to move on beyond it?
I felt like I had many whys, not one in particular, but for me, I felt like it was a sort of on the sense of God wanted to use it to comfort others, and I hadn't really thought of that the first time I went through it, but by the second time, I realized that, you know, in Scripture, it's clear that Christ gives you that comfort, that you could comfort others. And that was true in my life. I started to meet people that were going through those challenges, and I was able to share, you know, what I had gained just from processing.
Yes.
And from just crying out to God and drawing close to Him and just clinging on to the hope that I have in Him.
Sarah Siu is with us. She's written this book called Run to You, all about her experience of miscarriage, not just one but two, and what she's learned about running to God as a result of that. We've got to cut to the good news, is the fact that today you actually do have two beautiful children. One,
yes.
Kekoa, which means?
The warrior.
And one, Kalea, which means?
Joy.
Joy. But there was a lot of joy.
Yes.
And Kekoa came first. He's the eldest.
Yes, he's 3 years old.
Okay, now, how did you feel? We don't have a lot of time left, but how did you feel when you found out you were then pregnant again with the baby that would become Kekoa?
I had this great revelation during that time because I had all these fears and from the past experience, and it was that I needed to trust God. I needed to have a lifestyle of trust. So I had to trust Him every day that I woke up, that this baby, whether or not this baby would live or not today, I would have to trust. If this baby did live, I'd have to trust.
Wow, because you must have been anxious.
Yes. Ugh. It was almost every day for that.
For 9 months.
Yeah. In between throwing up and, you know, those wonderful joys of pregnancy.
I choose to trust God. I choose to trust God. Wow. And, He came through.
Yes, He did.
Well, the book is called Run to You, and the website is runtoyou.org for copies and things like that. And I guess these days you probably are talking a lot to folks, to women and things. If you could just bring it down to one thing for the person who's listening to us now who actually has been through the miscarriage but hasn't been out the other end of the dark time yet, what would you say?
I would say foster hope in your life. and it's living hope that we have, and it's easily drained. So if you can find hope, that would be a great source for you to persevere and
easily
moving
drained.
Forward.
Easily drained. That's a very good point. Sarah, nicely put. Thanks for joining us on Open House.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Sarah, see you. And that website again, runtoyou.org for her book there. And I guess what turned basically became a book after starting off life as a journal, running through all of these things.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.